So back to the verse, and to my original assumption about how compassion might arise. I don't bring compassion into being through responding to our shared limitations. It's more a case of recognising that compassion is there all the time. It's the natural expression of reality. The more deeply in tune with this I am, the more I act from this perspective, the more I see that we are fundamentally interconnected in ways I can't even imagine. All manifestation is an expression of the nature of reality, and it all has the perfume of compassion. My very sense of entrapment and limitation, the sense of loss or lack, is actually an expression of that. Without that sensitivity and feeling of wrongness, there would be no possibility of freedom. Without that feeling of wrongness in that sense of lack. That's an indication that there could be something different. So this is very important, if a little challenging. With compassion as all-pervasive, there's no possibility of being inherently lacking or not good enough. It's just not possible. Any tendency to see it like this is just a distortion of reality. At this point, you may well be thinking, but that's all very well, but what difference does it make in everyday life? And of course, I'm not in touch with such an enlightened perspective as I go about my business. But holding myself open to it somehow does make all the difference. It's this that makes it possible to turn to face my experience more deeply, with a sense of curiosity, openness, optimism, relaxation and trust. And that in turn allows the force of compassion to emerge. I spent some weeks over the winter doing an intensive bout of Maha Mudra pure awareness practice. Fairly early on, I felt painfully up against my restrictions, the boundedness of the way I experience things through my interpretations and stories all the time. One day I was meditating, and it was as if I could feel all of these interpretations and stories as the very structure of my being. I had the image of a climbing frame or scaffold towering over me. In a moment of longing, I cried out internally, "What would it be like to be free of such a limiting framework?" The next moment I turned to my heart and felt as if it had turned into an immense, radiating, vibrant, multifaceted, blazing gem, made of and pouring out unceasing and irrepressible light. There was no sense of separation at all. The whole thing was very definitely both my heart and filling the entire universe. And it was also a wish-fulfilling gem, there for everyone. Beautiful bodhicitta. The moment passed, but it left an incredible sense of relief. This was my nature. This was our nature. Our birthright. Completely inescapable. There's nothing I could do to bring it into being or destroy it. This was the nature of reality. It was beyond any sense of me doing anything to hold the world together. All I could do was bow to it. Then followed weeks of tender-heartedness and acute sense of oppressions caused by suffering, as well as large amounts of joy, seeing the beauty and the pain together, not being afraid to relate to the beauty and dreams of those who are suffering. In this state, it seemed absurd that happiness could come from anywhere else than this vast opening to others. The struggle had gone. Why would I want to be anywhere else? All joy, all pleasure, comes from engaging in experience right here and now, from the life and vitality and open mystery that is here in every moment, from the deep mystery that is another person, and the meaning it gives me to be in connection with them. At that time, the task became just to let go in every possible way, and I did let go very deeply indeed. For now, I seem to be left with a fluid but vast, tenacious heart of optimism. It doesn't solve any koans or answer any questions. It just asks more, opens up more mystery. It's the opposite of a sense of lack. a happiness that is sometimes sad and tender, sometimes full of wonderment and amazement, sometimes frustrated or bored. I can and will be actively engaged with things. That's my temperament. It still makes me feel good. It keeps alive the flame of care, the desire to oppose suffering. And the doing might even be exactly the same doing, exactly the same difficult decisions about what to respond to. But the activity is about bringing myself into alignment with an incontrovertible truth, which holds true and strong whatever I think about it. So I might as well bring myself into alignment with it. And I can do that by honouring it, celebrating it, and like Chandrakirti, bowing to it. And this turning towards the sunshine of reality is radical, in some ways as challenging as staying open to suffering. This is faith, the activity of aligning ourselves with the nature of reality. All other activity can flow from this point. Bodhisattva activity becomes an attempt to live in accord with the way things are. But the starting point is faith. Although the heart of compassion is all-pervasive and indestructible, only faith, only alignment, only honouring, only bowing can sustain our connection with its radiance.